Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Thomas Eitenauer, who until recently has served as the president of Human Life International. Father Eitenauer is an ordained priest of the Diocese of Palm Beach, Florida. We'll be discussing Father Eitenauer's book, Demonic Abortion, which is a companion edition to the larger work, Exorcism and the Church Militant. Father Eitenauer has been performing exorcisms for 7 years with the approval from numerous dioceses in the United States. His interest in the ministry was a natural outgrowth of his work in the pro-life field, which deals with the organized power of evil on a global scale. Exorcism has allowed him to combine both his years of pastoral experience with his expertise in the pro-life movement. This book, Demonic Abortion, is the fruit of many years of prayer in front of abortion centers in the U.S. and abroad, and takes into account a very wide range of experiences that Father Eitenauer has had in confronting the culture of death on all five continents in more than 1 million miles of travel. Father offers the insights of this book as a means of forming, strengthening the church militant, a traditional term for the followers of Jesus Christ on earth. A strong church militant is the only sure hope of overcoming the evil practice of child sacrifice in the modern world. We're going inside the pages of Father Thomas Eitenauer's book, Demonic Abortion, a sobering commentary on the satanic nature of the modern abortion industry, published by Human Life International. Father Thomas Eitenauer, thank you so much for joining us once again. We really appreciate your visits.
Oh, great to be with you, Chris. My pleasure.
In our last discussion, we talked about your book, Exorcism and the Church Militant, which I hope people have run out and gotten copies of right now, or at least got on the back order list, because it is just an extraordinary work. But the new book that you have, a subject that is very provocative, but yet we would be spiritually blind if we ignored it. It's demonic abortion.
Yes. Thanks for mentioning that. Anybody who is interested in getting either one of these books can go to exorcismbook.com and order a copy, or they can call 1-800-549-LIFE. That's Human Life International's 800 number, 1-800-549-LIFE. The reason I wrote Demonic Abortion is because I wanted people to see the satanic nature of the abortion industry. I have been doing pro-life work for more than 15 years explicitly, about 10 years now. I've been head of Human Life International. I've seen abortion in its international dimensions as well as its local dimensions. You all are out in Omaha. You have Carhartt's Clinic out there, and you go to a place like that and you can just feel the tangible presence of evil there. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that and I've felt it in many, many places throughout our country and throughout our world. So I felt it was time for somebody who had some standing in the pro-life movement to talk specifically about the spiritual dimension of abortion. And I make explicit reference at the beginning of that book that I'm not here to kind of educate people on the pro-life issues. There's plenty of other resources to do that, okay? I don't explicitly do that. I don't even talk about morality per se, which is part and parcel of, you know, the problem here. However, what needs to be said, and I don't see it currently being said by anybody, is that there is a spiritual dimension to this wickedness, and it is completely evil industry. And we know that because, you know, we see the fruits of it. We also know that because our Lord told us that two of the characteristics of the devil are that he is a liar and a murderer. Mm. And if there's anything, any industry that is built upon lies and murder, it is the abortion industry. And I just felt I needed to tease that out for people. I've been writing some articles about it in the past couple of years, and they always get a phenomenal reception, always people telling me, my goodness, I never thought of that, but you're right. So I figured I'd try to bring it to a more systematic presentation and get it to a wider audience.
It's so important for us to understand that reality, because another tactic of the devil is to remain hidden and very quiet. What happens with abortion? It's on so many different levels, Father. It attacks the truly feminine. It attacks our fertility. It attacks in so many ways, and yet we get seduced by it as some type of solution.
Well, that's very well said, and I do take a couple of those issues directly in my book and explain them a little bit more. For example, I talk about the spiritual evil of contraception, because what that does is it enters into, you know, a marital relationship like a demonic wedge, and it divides and conquers. You know, it, mm-hmm. it divides what the church says should always remain together, the unitive and the procreative act. It divides husband from wife. It divides the family from God, and so on and so forth. It always leads to abortion. All right, one evil leads to another evil all the time. So, you know, that's something that I go directly at, and I think people will find that fairly enlightening. It attacks women, you know, because the devil is a misogynist. He just, you know, his first attack on the human race was on a woman. Mm-hmm. And then we see him in the book of Revelation as that huge dragon who's, you know, ready to devour a child of a pregnant woman, and then he tries to attack the woman. And we know that that's all Christian symbolism, which really plays itself out in real time in attacks against women and children, the most vulnerable members of our society. Many, many other evils are associated with that. I think people would find very interesting the question that I have about how every revolution ends up, you know, killing its own people that it's supposed to help save. You know, like right now, worldwide, abortion is killing baby girls at a much higher level than it's killing baby boys. Most people don't know that, but it's called gendercide. You know, it's very interesting to see the percentages of girls being killed as opposed to boys because of sex selection abortions and things like that. So,
right.
Anyway, it's all part of the same demonic evil, and it's always evil. There's never anything positive, never anything good with abortion.
How does this feed into that whole ritual type of sacrifice motif that we've heard about with ancient cultures, that we look back on them and study them and say, oh, how barbaric, but then why do we not see what we're doing?
Yeah, very good question. My book addresses that precisely from the standpoint of abortion being a demonic religion. And when we don't see that, it's because, you know, the devil has put a veil over our eyes, like it says in the book of Isaiah. You know, it says Christ mm-hmm. will eventually remove that veil from all the nations, so they'll actually see it for what it is. And when we're blinded to the reality of it, we just repeat the same old patterns. So what are the old patterns? Well, child sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God condemned the sacrifice of children to demons. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, these prophets just relentlessly attacked the people of Israel for giving themselves over to the pagan religions, which were offering human sacrifice to demons. And so in the modern abortion industry, we have the same thing. People are offering their children in sacrifice to demons. This is blood sacrifice. The abortion clinics are like temples, like, you know, little places of worship. Inside the abortion clinic, there's an abortion table, which is like an altar. There's a priest or a medical personnel, if you will, who stands at that altar offering the blood sacrifice. He offers it in a ritualized fashion, not one, not two, but many, many every day. In the United States, 4,000 per day. And all kinds of other analogies to the you know, a religion. And that's what abortion has become, kind of like a demonic religion offering child sacrifice to the demons. And so that's why the church just has to get its act together to start fighting this.
Yeah, that's what's so horrific about this in some ways, that in the past, church leaders have not spoken up, Father. You're aware of that better than anyone. And they almost, there's like this, well, we can't touch that because that will cause a lot of anxiety and anger amongst our people.
Yeah, if we just see abortion as a political thing, which a lot of priests do, unfortunately, then they just don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Even if they see it as a moral thing and they don't want to offend people, they're not really living out the prophetic calling of the church. And what I'm saying is that there's, you know, we are spiritual leaders, and we have to see the spiritual damage that is being inflicted on our people, even to the loss of souls. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't hate the people in the abortion industry. From a spiritual perspective, they're the ones that are most in the grip of the devil, and they're the ones that we most have to pray for.
you have been to this beautiful home place of ours, Omaha, Nebraska, and have prayed with us in our churches and prayed with us at one of the most notorious places in the United States, the Carhartt Abortion Mill. And when you're around there, I mean, Father, you could almost, if you close your eyes, you can see with your heart the evil that is just circulating the whole facility.
Yeah, that one is, I remember that distinctly. That's very insidious. That's the place where the, you know, partial birth abortions are done. So, I mean, it's a tangible, brutal, ugly systematized evil, a structure of sin, if you will. And I remember looking at that place and seeing, you know, how everything around it just seemed to be degraded by that evil, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that when a society institutionalizes evil like that, it does have a profound effect on everything else around it. It just takes a little bit of time to see it.
For many people, they feel that the only way to fight this is in a very secular terms, to prevent this. I mean, it is to go to the courts. It's to go, to stand out and pray, of course, in front of the abortion clinics. But that element of prayer and the tools that we have within the church, they can do even more if the church rises up and uses them as a whole.
Well, you make a good point there. I think for the most part, we've got the cart before the horse. We are trying to hit these people where they are the strongest, which is, you know, keeping the political dimension of abortion safe so that it can't be changed, and the trying to overturn the laws, all of which are very important things to do, and somebody has to be doing them, but their efforts aren't as fruitful because we're not dedicating ourselves so much to dealing with the spiritual dimension of it. Now, I might hasten to add that when we do deal with the spiritual dimension of it, we see, I mean, miracles. You've heard of the 40 Days for Life campaign, and my goodness, they're closing abortion clinics and saving babies all over the place because they bring prayer and fasting only to the abortion clinic in a very systematic way. Monsignor Riley's Helpers of God's Precious Infants is the same way. They do prayer vigils. They, you know, do Eucharistic adoration and Mass. They walk to the nearest abortion mill, pray in the rosary. I mean, they've brought out, you know, hundreds of priests and bishops. They've converted abortionists. They've closed down abortion mills. They've saved babies. You know, they've just converted hearts, all of which is extremely important. And more recently, I trained a group of priests in the Diocese of Rockford, Illinois, to take the exorcism ritual to an abortion clinic, and they did it with the authorization of their bishop. And for the past 2 years, there's been at least one priest, sometimes two and three, out in front of that abortion mill every Monday, praying. Monday isn't even a day they're doing abortions, but people are crediting them now, 2 years hence, with cutting the abortion business in half at that abortion clinic. You know, it really does work when we take seriously the call of Christ to give leadership in the church militant.
The thing that's tremendous blessing, it does work, and we are seeing nationwide an upsurge of those who will claim the mantle pro-life and work to either overturn laws or prevent things from occurring. But yet the devil seems to have a lot of different tools and a lot of manipulations, and he's going into other areas and even deepening his attack. I mean, can we put in that same category of the demonic abortion what's happening with embryonic stem cell research, as well as other forms of the destruction of human life?
No question about it. The same principle applies, right? You take mm-hmm. something sacred and you attack it and you divide it and you lie about it. All of that is being done by the culture of death right now. Embryonic stem cell research, you know, it's so clear to us, but they're confusing the issue by conflating embryonic stem cell research with adult stem cell research, okay? What you have to do in order to get stem cells out of an embryo is that you have to kill it,
mm-hmm.
all right? It's just so clear to us. People don't know that because, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. But that's what the devil does. It would be like going into any human body and just taking out its organs because somebody else needs them, right? That would kill the body. Well, that's what they're doing at the embryonic level. It also, you know, has a demonic dimension to it, and it's very frightening, actually. But we can bring, you know, the spiritual force of our church to these realities and bind them and break their power.
We just have to have faith. I mean, we can move mountains, can't we, Father, with enough faith?
Yeah, that's right. And if abortion isn't a mountain, I don't know what is.
It has to go to that conversion of heart, too. I mean, for those who are seeking and those who are performing these acts. And here we are in the United States, looking at the rest of the world, thinking that we have to help them, and yet we're hurting them in so many ways because now we are exporting abortion.
You bet. Yeah, with our beloved Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, she's a rabid abortion proponent. She's, of course, head of the State Department, and State Department is what deals with United Nations and all foreign policy. She's going to countries like the Philippines and just arrogantly saying that they need to have abortion. The Vice President of our country, Joe Biden, just went down to Kenya. they're doing a constitutional revision in that country, which includes now for the first time a provision for abortion on demand. And, you know, Joe Biden, a good so-called good Catholic, goes down there and says, you have to have this. And by the way, if you vote this in, the money's going to flow. You know, he's bribing them to vote in abortion so they can kill their babies. And, this is just the worst of American imperialism, just now dressed up as reproductive rights and things like that. It's very frightening, and we have a great responsibility as Americans to try to do something about that.
Oh, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.
Yes, we need that. We need that. And she's performed miracles in the past, so I'm sure she can do that now.
How do we not fall into despair at the immensity of this particular spiritual battle?
I tell people what I do, and that is just keep a strong prayer life. And I see it on its global scale. I see the worst aspects of the culture of death on a daily basis, in addition to seeing evil inside of people, individuals. And it would be so easy for me to get discouraged and say that we're just not winning this battle. It's too powerful. But, you know, Christ doesn't let me. He just says, keep praying. Be faithful and take it one day at a time, like the gospel says, and God will show you the victory. Just be faithful.
Well, Father, why do you suppose there is such a hesitation on the part of the church as far as priests and deacons and others to speak on the existence of evil and the devil in the world today?
Well, Chris, I believe that it's sort of unfamiliar territory, or maybe I should say it's just fear of the unknown. It's not that, you know, Christ hasn't laid out for us in the pages of Scripture the reality of the devil and demonic possession and the reality of the church's power against it. I mean, if you read the New Testament with faith, it's all over the New Testament. So it's not unrevealed to us. It's just that, you know, Hollywood has created this idea that the devil has this inordinate power against us. For example, in the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose, it showed this, you know, pious 20-something girl who goes to college, and she's got nothing wrong with her. And one night she wakes up in the middle of the night and she feels like something's stalking her, and 2 minutes later she's completely possessed on the floor. And, you know, this is how Hollywood presents it, but it doesn't happen that way. But the average person will get their view of exorcism and possession from Hollywood. And one of the purposes of my book is to kind of take back the perceptions of it and give people the church's perspective about the devil and fighting his power.
I just, as a member of the church militant, a pew person, I am just praising God that you have the courage to speak out on this. I think, isn't it, Father, sometimes there's a hesitation because people will say, well, if you talk about it, you're giving them too much power. But that's like saying, we're not going to talk about the potential of tornadoes because that could scare us. So we're not going to do drills or anything else.
Right. And with tornadoes, they're not trying to hide themselves so that you don't talk about them, but the devil is.
Right, exactly.
So really, we need to talk about him because, remember, the devil likes to operate in darkness, and he lives in the darkness of human sin and error, as one exorcist said. And so whenever we talk about him, but precisely from the church's point of view and from the perspective of faith, that's always a detriment to the devil. He doesn't like it.
And you point out in the book that, yes, there was this hidden in the dark sea of human sin and error, as you phrased it, in the past so much. But today, he is walking tall and powerfully in structures of sin. I've never heard it phrased like that, structures of sin.
Yeah. Well, whenever you find organized evil, you know, evil not just afflicting an individual, but worked into systems where lots of individuals who are affected by this conspire or work together, they create a structure of sin, which is a language that the church uses in a lot of its social teaching to talk about systematic types of evil. Communism, for example, with its series of concentration camps and you know, the evil things that, have gone on in communism, that would be a structure of sin. The abortion industry, which I talk about in my other book, Demonic Abortion, is a structure of sin. Pornography is a structure of sin. You know, these industries really make huge amounts of money and have a whole lot of economic and political power behind them to continue to do this kind of evil. And that is why the only force that can effectively come against all this stuff is another organized force for good, which is the church.
You mention, of course, the devil. We talk about him. Now, if you watch the History Channel, Father, they'll tell you that he's an evolved mythology, that we've kind of made him up to explain why we act badly. That's a deception in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, that's, you know, I think modern science and modern psychology has sometimes placed a wedge in between the traditional understanding of things and you know, modern sophisticated life. And we live in a modern culture, so we have to see these things the way the church sees them. And the simplicity of the gospel tells us that the devil exists. He's not just a projection of someone's imagination. You read the book of Revelation, you see, you know, how he was originally cast out of heaven, came down to the earth and sea. It says, "Woe to you, earth and sea, for the devil has come down upon you," and he knows that his time is short. And so when you approach it from the perspective of faith, you don't, you know, overinterpret it or, you know, place another interpretation on it that comes from some other place. But the church is very clear about this. And I think that, you know, we have to take into account the benefits of modern science and psychology without letting them intrude into the realm of faith.
Well, Father Thomas Eitenauer, your books of Exorcism in the Church Militant and this new one, Demonic Abortion, kind of helps us to take the veils off our eyes. And it is difficult. I mean, there are those, and I'm sure you've heard it from so many different people, that will say that there's something about these days. I mean, that there's always been hard times. There's always been struggles. There's always been, just because there's always been sin in this timeline of salvation history. But there's something about now. I mean, in the 20th century, the Holocaust that occurred, it was horrific, but you could see it. It was on top of the land. The things that are happening now are multiplied hundreds of times, and they're all hidden.
Yes, yeah. Remember that the devil is a liar and a deceiver. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 that the devil comes dressed as an angel of the light sometimes, all right, because he's very clever. The demons did not lose their natural intelligence, which is much greater than human intelligence, when they fell. But that intelligence has all been perverted and redirected now to the things that are destructive of God's kingdom. And ultimately, the big prize for the devil is the human soul. Padre Pio says that the battlefield between God and the devil is the human soul. So we have to be vigilant about our own souls, which means our own understanding of things, our own, you know, decisions that we make, and we have to be vigilant and always, you know, remain in union with the church, and because there's so many things that are confusing out there. If we stay vigilant and faithful to the church, and the church being faithful to Christ, then we'll be okay.
Praise God and thank Him so much for St. Michael and his whole army.
Amen is right. St. Michael is the captain of the heavenly host. And by the way, most people don't know that when you read that story about Joshua and the fall of Jericho, you know, we think about the walls come tumbling down, but we rarely read just the chapter before that, where before that, Joshua has a vision of some angelic being who calls himself the captain of the hosts of the Lord. And doesn't name himself as Michael, but clearly Joshua sees St. Michael prior to going into battle before at Jericho. So Michael is really leading the charge.
I'm just praise God for your courage, your perseverance, your fortitude, all those gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been poured into your heart, Father Thomas Eitenauer, and the work that you've done with Human Life International. And the books that you have brought forward, just as I mentioned, The Exorcism in the Church Militant and Demonic Abortion. Don't be afraid of those titles, folks, but fear not. Be not afraid, but you got to grab them. You got to know, don't you, Father?
Yes, amen. And anybody can get those at exorcismbook.com on the web, exorcismbook.com. It's a website dedicated just exclusively to those books. Or they can call Human Life International at 1-800-549-LIFE.
I do have to tell all you Father Carapi fans who I know are listening out there, he's done the foreword on the Exorcism in the Church Militant book. I can't imagine standing with two more powerful leaders here in Father Thomas Eitenauer and Father John Carapi.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. And Father is a good friend of mine, and he and I will actually be speaking together in Cincinnati. I have the minor role. I'm just kind of playing warm-up. I'm going to be his MC, and I'm very privileged to do so.
Well, Father, you're a stand-up and a headliner for us, so we truly appreciate your presence. May we ask for your priestly blessing to close this show?
Absolutely. My pleasure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon this show, this radio network, all those who will hear this broadcast. Open their hearts and minds. Fill them with your peace and your light. Send your holy angels to stand guard over them, to keep them out of the culture of death, and to protect them and their families. Keep their families united in your grace, and help us all to form ourselves more deeply and more assuredly every day into the fighting force that we call the Church Militant, so that we can stand up and take the resources of our church and confront the culture of death, confront the power of evil institutionalized around us. And bless us all through these efforts and our efforts to stay close to you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I think I'm going to make a prayer card out of that one.
That
was just so pretty. Is that what you come off the top of your head? That was awesome.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, well, I do
gift.
A lot.
What a gift. Father Thomas Eitenauer, God bless you once again. You wonderful, wonderful gift to us in the church.
Thank you, Chris. God bless you too.
We've been going inside the pages of Father Thomas Eitenauer's book, Demonic Abortion, a sobering commentary on the satanic nature of the modern abortion industry. You can pick up a copy of Father Eitenauer's book, as well as the larger work, Exorcism in the Church Militant, at hli.org, the website for Human Life International, or at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, please visit www.insidethepages.com. I'm Kristen McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.